If you are in kindergarten through fifth grade, you'll go to the classroom through the fellowship hall with Miss Eden. I want to say while she's still in here, Eden left the home, left the house before me this morning, so I decided to dress exactly like her. And that's why if you saw me in flip-flops, it's the only time I've worn flip-flops or sandals to church, because my wife was, and I wanted to have fun. And then I called some friends and said, hey, you guys should also match. So there are a few of us here that look exactly like this, or close, and so that was, it was just people that I thought, oh, these guys haven't left yet. So, that's not the case. Now, listen, I know Mark Reinig has been up for 12 hours already, and he's been ready for church for hours and all those good things. So, just a couple of quick text messages and just trying to have some fun. And she didn't even notice. That was the funny thing. Me and our daughter Elizabeth came in, and she had no idea we were standing right in front of her, just exactly dressed like she was, and she's totally oblivious to it. Other people saw it first. Oh, you guys are... Yeah, it was fun. Fun for me, anyway. So thank you for enjoying just our lives together. I'm thankful for all of you. I'm not sure why everybody decided to sit on this side today, or not everybody, but most of you decided to sit over there. This is kind of a lopsided building this morning. I know. Rick, I've got deodorant in my office. You just... It's fine. I am thankful this morning. We have really, really fun things going on. We've been spending our summer in Proverbs. I've titled the series Summer in the Verbs as our getaway sermon series, our time away from other things. As Proverbs really can be something that stands on its own each week. And so if you're not here next week, you get a fullness of the message this week, and you would have gotten the fullness of a message last week, because each chapter really can stand on its own as a statement of King Solomon and of God. We are learning in Proverbs from Solomon. Solomon was a king of Israel at one time, and he was known as the wisest king, and in his wisdom became also one of the wealthiest kings. He was incredibly wealthy. He was incredibly blessed by God. He was incredibly well off in so many ways. And so he wrote, in all of that, he wrote down this book of wisdom that he wanted to hand off to and share with his sons and the inexperienced people of Israel. And we get to read it now thousands of years later and glean from the wisdom of a king. I don't get to spend much time with kings. I don't get to spend much time with intelligent people. I hang out with me and Rick. And so it's nice to get some wisdom from somebody who has lived a totally different life, a life that we might aspire to, a life that we might look at and say, oh, that's really awesome. Solomon wanted to hand down the good things that he understood so that his sons and the inexperienced men of Israel, people of Israel, would know how to live their lives in a way that honored the Lord and wasn't stupid or lazy. His goal was not to teach them how to think about every situation, what to think about every situation. He didn't want to say, hey, when you get to these two options, choose the red pill. He wanted you to know how to think things through, how to approach situations, and the way to consider things. He wanted you to know how important it was to actually think, to use your mind, to take things before the Lord, to consider what was important to God. And in doing so, he had an incredible impact on the nation of Israel. And because of that, they would be the people that God set them apart to be, or at least that was his goal. Last week, we looked at chapter 7, where Solomon told a story of seeing a young man fall into temptation as it was offered by the adulterous woman. The reality was, as we are all offered a place at her house, There's always something presented to us as, hey, you can have this. And it's shiny with ribbons on it. She's got everything that you might want just ready for sale for you. We're all offered a place in her house. We all have access to her bedroom, to her things, to her space. And she makes it so inviting. She says in Proverbs chapter 7, she says, I've made my offerings. I've made my bed with fine linens from Egypt. I've sprayed the perfumes and cleaned the cobwebs. I've done all the things. It's ready for you. And she wants to take care of you. But going there, Solomon says, leads us to certain death. Going down that road leads us to a place of trouble. So then we turn to Proverbs chapter 8, and he offers the alternative. Proverbs chapter 8 gives us a different life to live. Yes, there is this option of this adulterous woman who will dress like you want to see her and will provide the things that you think you might want in life. But that leads to death. The alternative for us comes in Proverbs chapter 8. Betty, will you come and read for us Proverbs chapter 8? You can read it from here if you want. I have it on the screen.
Oh, that's big.
Okay.
Better.
So you just have to click through when you're ready. Okay?
Okay. Oh, it doesn't scroll up.
Nope.
Okay.
It clicks through.
Okay. Doesn't wisdom call out? Doesn't understanding make her voice heard? At the heights overlooking the road, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the main entrance, she cries out. People, I call out to you. My cry is to the children of Adam. Learn to be shrewd, you who are inexperienced. Develop common sense, you who are foolish. Listen, for I speak of noble things, and what my lips say is right. For my mouth tells the truth, and wickedness is detestable to my lips. All the words from my mouth are righteous. None of them are deceptive or perverse. All of them are clear to the perceptive, and right to those who discover knowledge. Accept my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and nothing desirable can equal it. I, wisdom, share a home with shrewdness, and have knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate arrogant pride, evil conduct, and perverse speech. I possess good advice and sound wisdom. I have understanding and strength. It is by me that kings reign and rulers enact just law. By me princes lead, as do nobles and all righteous judges. I love those who love me, and those who search for me find me. With me are riches and honor, lasting wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than solid gold, and my harvest than pure silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness, along the paths of justice, giving wealth as an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. The Lord acquired me at the beginning of his creation, before his works of long ago. I was formed before ancient times, from the beginning, before the earth began. I was born when there were no watery depths and no springs filled with water. Before the mountains were established, prior to the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the land, the fields, or the first soil on earth. I was there when he established the heavens, when he laid out the horizon on the surface of the ocean, when he placed the skies above, when the fountains of the ocean gushed out, when he set a limit for the sea so that the waters would not violate his command, when he laid out the foundations of the earth. I was a skilled craftsman beside him. I was his delight every day, always rejoicing before him. I was rejoicing in his inhabited world, delighting in the children of Adam. And now, sons, listen to me. Those who keep my ways are happy. Listen to instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Anyone who listens to me is happy. watching at my doors every day, waiting by the posts of my doorway. For the one who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But the one who misses me harms himself. All who hate me love death.
So here we see, thank you, Betty. So here we see Solomon set up this illustration. And remember, he's talking to young men primarily. He's talking to his sons. And so what is his illustration? He says, okay, guys, let's talk about girls for a minute. Let's talk about girls. There's this one option. The one we've already talked about. Chapter 7. The chapter 7 girl. The adulterous woman. The woman that has everything available. But then there's this other option. The illustration presents these two different women who are vying for the attention of the young man, and he has to decide between the two. Who are you going to pursue? Who are you going to marry? What is your life going to look like? As a dad, I'm talking to my oldest girls often right now about who they're going to marry, because that matters. I'm talking to even my younger girls, not this young. Hey, would you come over here and sit? Thank you. Who are you going to spend your life with? What are you looking for? What are the acceptable traits and what are the unacceptable traits? Because that person determines so much in their lifetime. Solomon is doing the same thing here with wisdom and temptation. Throughout chapter 7, we see the draw of the adulterous woman. She seeks out the young man. She goes in the dark to meet him where he is. She has gone to find him. She tries to entice him. She gives up all the goods very easily. Here in chapter 8, we see him tell his son about a very different girl, wisdom. Doesn't wisdom cry out, he says? I mentioned her before. We talked about her in chapter 1. Yes, wisdom. Think about for a moment wisdom and how much better this woman might be for you. She cries out for your attention as well, but she's standing in the open. She's at the gates of the city. She's at the crossroads of the community. She's not hiding. She's not sneaking around. You're not going to find her under the bleachers. Nothing good happens after 10 o'clock. She's outside in the open. And like any good woman, there are things that she brings with her that are a blessing to the people around her, and there are things in her that she won't, or there are things in you that she won't tolerate at all. And that's good. It is good to have that kind of a helpmeet in your life. That's the incredible thing about marriage, right? There are benefits that come along, and there are things that are not tolerated at all if you marry wisely. Wisdom brings truth about reality. You need to understand that. We're going to get into that this morning. Wisdom brings truth about reality. Wisdom brings right living. We're going to learn about that this morning. Wisdom brings rewards along with her. We're going to see that in this scripture. And wisdom brings life. Solomon desperately wants his sons to marry wisdom. He wants his sons to be entangled with the idea of pursuing wisdom. And so here he writes out her amazing qualities. Just like you would. If you wanted to introduce your friend to another friend. Oh, this is my friend Rick. And he has a two-pole lift in his garage. In case you were wondering, Rick is pretty cool. You can call him up at any time. You're going to start talking about the good things. And then if you wanted your kid to be interested in this other kid because you thought, well, they come from a good family, they've got good a good background, I've seen this kid do really well in life, I don't know them to be a liar, these are good qualities, you're going to start to tell your kid about the good things. Solomon says, hey, these are the good things about wisdom. Isn't she attractive? Isn't she pretty? She's wisdom. She brings with her truth. Isn't truth fun? She brings right living. Isn't that good? She brings rewards better than silver and gold. Better than things that you might pursue on your own. And she brings life. The unfortunate thing for wisdom is that she's competing against the world. Her rivals are the immoral woman and folly. Folly we see more of in chapter 9. Just the plain stupidity that we fall into. Anybody in the room other than me fall into stupidity? Once in a while we get tempted by, oh, that looks dumb. Here I go. Or, whoops, that was dumb. Most of my dumb is past tense. You see it when you look back and say, oh yeah, that sucked. Why does my head hurt? Her rivals are the world. She fights for attention, but often loses because the way that she does that, like a good woman, is in broad daylight in public. Your decision to follow wisdom has to be a public one. You can't follow wisdom privately because it's going to require you to say no to some things. Following wisdom means, hey, I don't go over there. Actually, my wife doesn't allow that. If my wife knew I was going into this place, nope, we don't. It's not okay. I'm not going down that road. I can't do that thing. There are some things I'm going to have to say no to. It's also going to bring some things with it that people are going to see. Wisdom will speak the truth, and so you will start speaking the truth. She's bringing truth with her. If you think you're going to pull some nonsense with wisdom, you're not. She's going to call you out on that, and that'll be good. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6 through 9 says, listen, for I speak of noble things. What my lips say is right, for my mouth tells the truth, and wickedness is detestable to my lips. All the words from my mouth are righteous. None of them are deceptive or perverse. All of them are clear to the perceptive and right to those who discover knowledge. She's going to tell you wisdom. If you pursue wisdom, wisdom is going to bring with it, with her, truth. She tells you what is right, what is in order. And there's an understanding that comes with that. Folly twists things. Folly makes us skew things in our mind. Indulging in pleasure seems like it could be the right thing to do. Eating cake every single day seems right. In fact, eating cake at every meal seems right. Why? It tastes good when I do it. It sounds like a great plan. Ice cream every evening? Yes, please. Two bowls. One for me and one for second me. One of the incredible things about living with a woman who is pregnant is you get to dip ice cream when she says so, when she wants some, right? And so I had a lot of ice cream when we've had children, and that was a wonderful time in our lives. But the reality is, indulging in pleasure seems like, in the moment, it will be great, and then you have to buy those different pants. Why did my pants not fit? Wait a second. I've always been this size, always. Indulging in pleasure seems like it will be great. Taking shortcuts seems like it will pay off. Like if you ever get really dumb and decide to just drive the church van through the yard, because, hey, everything seems dry. And then you have to get Bruce, and who else came out there with us, Bruce? Do you remember? Anyway, I did that. I was dumb one time, decided to drive the van through the yard, and got stuck, just as stuck as we could possibly be. We had to leave, I think we left it there overnight, right? We had to let the ground solidify a little bit. We abandoned the van in the yard and walked away because we could not get it out. Shortcuts seem like they'll pay off. Hey, I'll beat everybody there. We'll get there right on time. They never do. Wisdom helps us see the difference between wickedness and righteousness. There are no distortions. When you go to the store, hey, you know this is supposed to cost this much. It rang up as this much. You got to say something. No, that's not right. Somebody's going to get me for this later. Something's going to happen for this. Somebody's going to get in trouble for this. We have learned about the fool that they will firmly believe whatever they think is true, and they will tell you all about it. You can't convince a fool of anything. Why? Because they know. And they know better than you. And they know better than the experts. And they know better than any testimony you might give. They're right in their own eyes. Wisdom helps you know the truth. And that's the way that the world handles things. The world wants to twist the truth. Follow your feelings. Whatever you feel is right. Whatever makes you happy is right. Whatever you need in life, whatever you think you need in life is right. Until you get to the place where you've gone so far off the deep end that we are where we are today in 2025, America. Wisdom brings the truth regardless of your feelings. When we start to study the Word of God and we see, hey, that doesn't align with Scripture at all. This behavior is not acceptable. These things are detestable to God. This is not okay. Wisdom brings the truth regardless of your feelings. Sometimes you have to say things that hurt other people's feelings. Did you know that? Old guys know that. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. I told you it wasn't going to work. Why did you do it anyway? You wanted bloody knuckles. I understand. Wisdom brings about the truth. Wisdom also brings with her right living. Wisdom brings right living. Because when you marry wisdom, you're getting with wisdom shrewdness, knowledge, and discretion. The ability to make right decisions, to carefully consider situations without making snap judgments. Those come along with wisdom. If you're pursuing wisdom, going after wisdom, wisdom teaches us how to navigate life. And she's bringing with her things that help with that. And with that, there are things that wisdom doesn't tolerate. She hates pride, arrogance, evil behavior, perverted speech. There are things that she's just not going to accept. That's a wonderful thing that I know and love about my wife. There are behaviors that I cannot indulge in because she is not going to accept them. There are things that she won't tolerate. There are things that she won't allow to be around. Might have to switch mics. And in that, I'm careful to surround myself with people who will do the same thing for me. People who won't tolerate nonsense. That keeps me in line. I know very well my wife isn't going to stick around for me lying or stealing. If she finds out that I've robbed you in any sort of way, she's gone. She finds out that I cheated on her in any sort of way, she's gone. I don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. If you see her move in with her parents, there's a problem. You should probably remove me from this position. Something has happened. But it goes further than that. I make sure that my friends hold me accountable too. Business deals are going to be fair. Business deals will be fair. Because I'm going to tell DeMond about them. You think I get to cheat with that guy? That's not happening. He's going to call me out on it. I expect Aaron to keep me from being lazy. It's not going to happen. You hang out for one day laying on the couch. After that, don't you got something to do? Isn't there things? I'm sure of it. I hope for it. Robert will be in that place to keep me in line. Rick will keep me encouraged. Ross will keep me from extreme measures. I know. They've done it before. Sometimes it's just that question of, what are you going to do today? What do you got going on today? Hold on. I'm going to change this. That's driving me crazy.
Okay, thank you.
even just in those moments of keeping you out of things, those people help control who you are. Wisdom does that. Wisdom protects you in bringing right living. Because as you get closer to it, you say, wait a second, this doesn't line up with the Word of God. This behavior isn't acceptable to wisdom that I've determined is going to be my life. This kind of thinking doesn't align with the Word of God. This identity that I've called myself doesn't line up with the Word of God. This doesn't appropriate itself correctly to what I understand from the Word. Wisdom does that for you. As a companion, wisdom keeps us in right living. There are things that she will celebrate. Oh, you're doing really good. There are things that she won't tolerate at all. You idiot. Stop that. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14 says, I possess good advice and sound wisdom. I have understanding and strength. She helps us live righteous lives. And so as Solomon is trying to entice his son, hey, you want to live a righteous life? Hang out with this woman. Hang out with wisdom. You can't be messing around if you're living with wisdom. She's got sisters that live in the house too. She's bringing with her shrewdness and knowledge and understanding. She's going to bring some things along that, hey, you can't get away with nothing. And that's good for us. You want to do this right? Bring wisdom into your house. Wisdom brings rewards. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18 through 21 say, with me are riches and honor, lasting wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than solid gold, my harvest than pure silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness, along the paths of justice, giving wealth as an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Wisdom comes with rewards. It comes with good stuff along with it. This isn't the prosperity gospel. This is not one of those messages. But we need to understand that with wisdom does come good things in this life and the next. We also need to understand that rewards may not come immediately or be the things that we think that we want. I would love for my rewards to be fast cars. I'd love that. Bigger house, I would love that. Actually, just a house that requires less maintenance would be actually super great. I would love those kind of rewards. But there are eternal blessings in wisdom. There are current blessings in wisdom. An inheritance full of treasures. Our treasuries to be filled completely. Some of that stuff is practical, some of it is literal, some of it is stuff that we just need to understand. A good reputation comes with wisdom. People that will come to you for advice comes with wisdom. Now you get to influence. You get to help. You get to teach. You get to encourage. Because you've shown yourself to have that relationship with wisdom. People like this church will surround you with care because you've acted with wisdom. You'll have an abundance of people who love you because you've behaved with wisdom. And sometimes it is money. We welcome that too. The Apostle Paul said he knew how to handle a lot and he knew how to handle a little. He could live on nothing and he could live in abundance. Wisdom comes with rewards. There are good things with wisdom. Some of it is that you got fancy stuff, and some of it is that you've got good people. It comes with wisdom. Wisdom helps you keep jobs. Wisdom helps you get more jobs, better jobs. Wisdom helps. It brings rewards. Wisdom, when you move her into your house, brings life. Verses 32 through 36 say, and now, sons, listen to me. Those who keep my ways are happy. listen to instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Anyone who listens to me is happy. Watching at my doors every day, waiting by the post of my doorway, for the one who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But the one who misses me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Those who keep my ways are happy. There is a joy in wisdom. And that is an incredible promise of life. People who skip out on wisdom are miserable humans. People who just decide to live doing one dumb thing after another, chasing after folly, chasing after the adulterous woman, chasing after temptation, whatever they're chasing, live miserable lives. You'll never find happiness at the bottom of a bottle. It won't be there. It's not there. It can't be there. You may have moments of fleeting excitement, but that's all it is. Excitement. It might take the edge off of some pain that you're experiencing, but that's it. Just the edge for the moment. She says, those who keep my ways are happy. That is our promise, a good life. Again, there's going to be trouble in the world. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, I tell you these things because in this world you will have trouble. That is one of my favorite verses of all scripture because that's a promise that resonates in my life. In this world you will have trouble. Okay, check. I got the trouble. That says Jesus understood what Adam was going to go through. He said it. I experienced it. But walking in wisdom will bring life. The Bible talks about giving you the desires of your heart. But wisdom tells us and gives us new desires. Our desires will start to change. You will find joy and happiness in righteousness. You will find peace in being at home, playing with puzzles and Scrabble and things that are simple. You'll begin to love those around you and find happiness in their fulfillment. Following wisdom is a pursuit of a path to life where there is so much in it, good things. Following after folly will injure you and kill you later. It almost always leads to injury now. I did some training a while back, learning how to work in mine properties like facilities that manage digging and other things. And one of the things that they said was like 80% of all injuries that happen at a mine facility happen to experienced people who have done this so many times before and so on and so forth. Injuries happen to supervisors, injuries happen to veterans of their craft because they always ride the conveyor belt down to the next stop, except this time it took their head off because it was a shortcut, because it was an easy, because it was a whatever, it was a folly where they ignored all of the wisdom that was put into place with the guardrails and the walkways and the paths that were safe. They said, no, this is okay. And so they die. Solomon expresses to his sons, please pursue wisdom. Chase it. Run after it. She's waiting right over there. If you would just go to her and give her your number, give her your Snap, give her your Instagram, if you would just talk to her, if you would say anything at all, you're going to start a relationship. You're going to go down a path that's going to lead to good things. She's got good stuff planned for you. In modern context, we might say, hey, she's a good cook. She's got her finances figured out. I had a conversation, lots of conversations at camp with kids about relationships and things, and all of them were hilarious because they have this idea of what relationships ought to be. And I'm saying, as an old married guy, you don't want any of that nonsense in your life. I promise. You want simple, You want good cooking? You want time at home? You want easy? None of that other nonsense that you were talking about. The only ratchet in your life ought to be in a drawer in the garage. Some of you understand that. Thank you. Solomon wanted his sons to pursue wisdom, to chase it, to run after it. He wanted them to look at it and see good things in it. And so he writes as if wisdom is speaking, and she says, listen and learn from me. We can understand that as reading the Bible, studying wisdom, and spending time in those relationships. In all of this, as theologians, as people who study the word, we have to see the woman that is described here, and we'll talk about it being a woman in just a second, but the woman that is described here really personifies Jesus who came later. Wisdom is our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let one who boasts boast in the Lord. And we know from the book of John, Jesus was there when the earth was created. Jesus was there before the world was formed. He was with God. He was God in the beginning. Was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is our Lord. That is our wisdom. Relationship with Jesus brings us those things. Jesus brings truth about reality. You can't have Jesus in your life and chase after folly. You can't be lying. Jesus brings right living. There are things that he celebrates and things that he doesn't tolerate at all. Jesus brings rewards. He brings life. We pursue those relationships by spending time there, by doing things that we know or we hope will bring him glory. Just like pursuing any relationship, the reality is when you started the relationship with your spouse or your friend or anybody, when you begin a new relationship, we do the things that they enjoy, and we avoid the things that they hate. At least in the beginning, right? There are things that we say, hey, listen, yeah, I love rock climbing. You ever been rock climbing? No, I love the idea of it, though. I'm going rock. You like rock climbing? I'm going. We rock climb, actually. If you wait 48 hours, Amazon will have all the stuff I need right here. I'm a rock climber, just like you. You do the things that they do. You do the things that they like to do, the things that they talk about doing. Oh, yeah, I'm a baker. I like cooking. We do all those things. You like that? That's what I'm passionate about, too. And then on the other side of that, you avoid the things that they hate. You start changing your behavior to say, oh, you don't like pickles? Neither do I. I've never liked any kind of pickles. There's no pickles in our house. Terrible things. We don't enjoy that at all. You change things about yourself. You allow yourself to be pliable, to be changed so that you can pursue that relationship. We do the same with Jesus, knowing that the rest comes with it. We allow ourselves to be pliable. That's the biggest thing about becoming a Christian and staying one, is that when we learn what the Lord likes, we change. When we learn what the Lord hates, we change. We don't continue down a path that he already told us, hey, that is not good for you. I don't like that. There's no blessing in it. This is not the way that you need to be. We allow ourselves to be pliable, knowing that the rest comes with it. Verses 35 and 36 tell us all about that. For the one who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But the one who misses me harms himself. All who hate me love death.
That is our reality. If we'll pursue him in any sort of way, allowing ourselves to be pliable, then we will find him and find life in him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 says, "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things," talking about worldly things, things that they need, thinking about food and water and shelter and clothes and things that are natural. He says, "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." God knows that we need life. We need truth. We need reward, even. He knows. Verse 33 in Matthew 6 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you." We have to pursue him. Choose wisely. Choose wisdom. We do that in a few ways that we see here in Scripture. The first is listen and pay attention. Wisdom repeatedly calls and urges people to listen and pay attention and receive instruction. That goes all the way through this chapter, but specifically in verses 32 through 34. There's an implication of an active posture of humility, readiness to hear and internalize wisdom's teaching. That means that we have to be in a position where we understand we don't know it all and we're willing to learn. If you come into any situation and say, "Hey, I'm the one who has all of this figured out," the likelihood of you being successful is very low. The next thing is to seek her diligently. Wisdom is out, available in public, but you still have to go there. We live in a day and time where the Bible is more accessible than it has ever been. And because of its accessibility, we've put it on a shelf and said, "Yeah, I have a Bible at home." We've got an app on our phone. Where is it? On the third page, in the little grouping and over there. And have you opened it this month? No. I've got it on my phone. It was the first thing I downloaded when I got my new device. It's very accessible, but you still have to pursue it. Her presence is at the gates, the waysides, and the entrances, meaning that she's very available, but we have to go there. Next thing is to embrace her words, the call to receive the instruction and to love wisdom tells us that we have to embrace what she says, her principles, and commit to living by them. We have to actually say, "Oh yeah, that makes sense to me. I'm going to change." Avoid evil and crooked paths. Avoid the things that wisdom hates. When the Bible says something is a sin, we have to acknowledge, "Oh yeah, that thing is a sin." And run like hell from it. Stay far away from it. Wisdom's path is one of righteousness and justice. She explicitly tells us that she is different from the others. Her roads are not near their roads. You're not accidentally stumbling onto her path. You've got to walk there intentionally. She's not crossing paths with crookedness. Pursuing wisdom involves actively turning away from evil and unrighteous ways. Prioritize her over material wealth. If you want a relationship with anybody in the world, the reality is you got to pursue them, specifically with a prized woman. You've got to pursue them. There's some chasing that has to happen and some prioritizing that has to happen. If any girl on the planet finds out you're talking to five other girls, you are now talking to four other girls. Because she's out. There's got to be some priority there. See, I have a benefit. I get to dance with six women in my kitchen. I think I'm the only one that gets that. I've got my wife and my daughters. They're the only ones that are allowed there. Wisdom declares that she is more valuable than gold, silver, and rubies. A believer pursuing wisdom should value that wisdom above worldly riches. This is the thing that's important. If you're pursuing that relationship, that's the woman that's important. Above all other things. And lastly, find life in her. Pursuing wisdom is not just an intellectual exercise, but a pursuit of life. Letting that change everything about everything and everything that you do. Because there's life there. This morning, we are looking at a contrast between chapter 7 and this woman that is presented as having everything available to you that you might possibly want at 11 o'clock at night. And this other woman who's not out at 11. She's out at noon in broad daylight. And the decisions that you can make at that 11 o'clock at night seem fun, but lead to death. The decision to pursue wisdom has to be public. It has to be open, because that's all she's going to tolerate. You're not hiding her at home. You're not putting her in the closet because your girlfriend came by. It's not happening. She won't be your mistress. She's wisdom. She's special. She's worth it. We have to understand that she's worth it and pursue that. A lot of those things are almost grotesque for me to say in church, so I apologize for all of that. But that's the message of Solomon as he's dealing with young men. He makes it a little bit, hey, listen, guys, you got this woman over here and this woman over here. One of them is good for you and one of them ain't. One of them you can take home to mom, and one of them, there's a reason she's out at 10 o'clock at night. Pursue wisdom. We want, as believers, our relationship with Jesus to be righteous. We want our relationship with Jesus to give us those rewards that we see presented here in Scripture. For that, we have to pursue it. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you have shared with us this morning in that. God, I ask that you would help us to be people who want wisdom, who want that relationship with you, who want to be pliable and to live a different life than we lived before. Help us in that way, God, to be the people that you've called us to be. God, we're thankful for all of the things that you say relationship with you brings. God, I ask that you would make that real and relevant and present for us today and as we go about the rest of our lives. We thank you for all of those things. We testify with Solomon that wisdom brings life. We're thankful for the promises today and for eternity. God, we celebrate all of that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.